Hello and welcome to the On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast.
We've got Marge in the room today, ladies and gentlemen. So if you hear some squeaking or some cat licking.
She's licking right now. And chewing.
It looks like a turkey leg. She's chewing on her little...
It's weird when cat legs go straight like that.
Yeah, it is. But she's got to clean it out, you know?
I understand.
That's how I clean my legs. Isn't that how you clean your legs?
It is.
Yeah.
If this is your first time listening, Marge is a cat.
Yeah.
And it's Bree's cat, and we are in Bree's house recording this Grey's Anatomy podcast. Today, we are talking about season 12, episodes 16 and 17. And if this is your first time listening, make sure you go back, start at the beginning, where we've deep dived every single episode up until this point.
We are a spoilers podcast, so if you start in the beginning of the podcast, we will be spoiling to probably about now.
Yeah.
Because then we get confused at timelines and what is even happening.
So. Yep. And so just be warned with that. If you haven't seen the show all the way through season 17, maybe do that first.
Although I don't really know why you would be listening to this episode then.
Yeah, who knows?
So welcome.
Welcome. If you want to support us, you can do so on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, resident, or an attending. All of these give you really cool different bonus content like access to our Facebook group. There are monthly bonus episodes, monthly Zoom hangouts, an extra 10 minutes of every episode called post-op, where we keep talking after we call time of death. For example, today's post-op is about Owen and Riggs and the little bit more that we learn about Megan.
It's like people are going to like lower their pledges
because they don't want to hear this.
About Owen and Riggs.
Think about it as Riggs. He's a little bit better than Owen, a little bit. So yeah, we'll talk about that. And just a reminder, we're over halfway through season 12, so this shouldn't be new to you, but we are doing longer rounds so that we can spend time talking about what we actually want to talk about.
Yes. You can also follow us on Instagram at The On-Call Room Pod, and you can leave us a voicemail if you're a $5 patron. I think we recently got one, so maybe you'll hear it on the next episode. Or
we need to remind ourselves.
Yeah. And also, please rate and review us anywhere that you listen to the podcast.
Yeah. It is a Monday.
Yeah, you were having a day.
I was having a Monday.
Yeah. A case of the Mondays.
I have a couple recommendations. One is I watched the documentary Lula Rich on Amazon Prime. It's about Lula Rowe. Do you remember when people sold that?
People still do.
Yeah, I'm going to be real honest. And well, okay, there's the part where it does victimize women, especially stay-at-home moms who want to like contribute. Mm-hmm. And it's this, you know, faux community thing. So like, okay, I feel sad for the people that got sucked into it and were like, same with like Herbalife and that stuff, who like lost a bunch of money. That being said, can I be bold? I think they're the ugliest things, the clothes.
Yeah. I know someone who has some things.
Yeah.
And those aren't like, there's some comfy looking things.
Little dresses or like a sweater thing.
Yeah. But for the most part, it's not the most fashionable or stylish.
For me, it's like the layering of like multiple patterns at once is where I'm lost.
Yeah.
Which like it blows my mind that it blew up that much. The documentary is incredible.
So is it not a company anymore?
They still are. It's a really interesting documentary because half of it is interviewing the current founders, like the two and like...
Yeah.
Like
is it a pyramid scheme?
Yes. Up until 2017 when they like changed...
Or like mid-level marketing or whatever.
No, until they changed some of the ways they did things.
Okay.
And then it like legally, it technically is not anymore, but it was for sure. And like... There's so many lawsuits against them and they have settled with a lot of people. It's really fishy. It's on Amazon Prime. It's free. It's 4 1-hour episodes.
Okay.
It's dope. I love shit like that.
I find those models so very interesting. Mm-hmm. A lot of essential oil.
doTERRA.
In Young Living. I'm pretty sure those are. But then you think like back in the day, like selling like Tupperware or like burger baskets.
I think the difference was if you sold Longaberger or Tupperware, you didn't make money off the people that you got to sell things. It's the downline.
Yeah. But there's still a lot, like Arbonne is one of those. Yeah. Like you have your people at the top and
what's the R? Roden and Fields?
Yeah. Uh huh.
Beachbody swears it isn't, and someone's going to yell at me, but how the fuck is it not?
Yeah.
The people at the, also it's like this guy does this great thing about like, and this is not a multi-level marketing podcast. I don't know what I'm talking about, but like how he talked about LuLaRoe at some point, like there were too many, like you couldn't, the people who were signing on late, there's no, like the population was bought out. Like there's, you couldn't sell to anyone else. Cause someone else, it was just like,
the market was saturated.
Yeah. It's just such a crazy thing.
I remember, so I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but it was my second year at Michigan State. My mom told me I needed to get a job and I got a phone call and like asking me to come. I didn't apply to anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, and they were very vague, but it was something about like health and wellness.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, they like want me to be their secretary. Like I went out and got new clothes, like a new outfit for an interview. I like took the bus. I took the one into Lansing.
Yep.
And I walk in and there are like four or five other people there, like kind of my age. And this like guy who was way too charismatic and was like, hey, like, we're all just going to get to know each other for a minute. And like, I was like, where am I? What's going on? How did I end up here too? Like trying to remember like the phone call exactly. And you know, I might've had like my resume on like a Michigan State website or something. Anyway, after we had like lemonade, he was like, all right, now I'm just going to ask y'all to sit down. And so we all like sit down in front of this whiteboard and he pretty much starts talking about this company. And I swear to God, at one point he drew a triangle and I was like, oh my God, this is a pyramid scheme. Like I am being pitched a pyramid scheme. And so he finished up the thing and I got the fuck out of there. And
do you remember what it was?
No. And I laughed so hard. I like called my friend who like, we had practiced like interview questions together. And I was like, it was a pyramid scheme. It's very shameful.
Wow.
Yeah. But
you got targeted.
I got targeted. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
And it's terrible sitting through them when you realize what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And just the way that they teach, like they talk about this in the documentary that so many of these, they're like conferences isn't really teaching you how to like run a business. It's just being like, there's no victim. Just change your mindset. Go. It's like the NXIVM thing. Like
it's like when that dude would come to your school for fundraisers and be like, and this kid got a bike, you know, and then like would show the bike and be like, if I can just sell $10,000
worth bars
of fundraiser money, I can get that bike.
Oh my
when
God.
Really, like you could probably get that bike for much cheaper at Toys R Us.
Dude, those, I felt so bad. I hope, do they still do those? Moms, call in.
Oh my God.
Because like, I feel like that really put the pressure on your parents.
Oh my God. Yeah. We would always bring it to my grandma's and she would buy stuff out of it. And it was always cheap ass shit for super expensive.
Overpriced wrapping paper.
My grandma would always buy wrapping paper.
Yeah. Yeah. God damn it. I just want to go to Home Goods.
Yeah. There was like that big catalog that had a lot of holiday stuff.
Yes.
And then a smaller one that had like caramel corn.
Yes.
In it. Yeah.
I
would only make it to like level A. I'd get like silly putty. For my like,
yeah.
Gift.
Also, I remember going door to door to my neighborhood.
Yeah, but they would talk to you about like, you can do it, but be safe about it.
Did that raise money for our schools?
For our schools, yeah. It was like in the fall. It was like the
it must
big
have been a
fall.
Small ass percentage though. Like,
yeah,
that seems not okay.
And that guy, remember, he was always this guy who came in and was just like, and a slinky.
Also, how about the like guy, there was a meme about this, about like, we used to have people who just came in and did yo-yos.
Yeah, or played spoons.
Yes, played spoons or did jump rope. Like,
yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. And they just like, I was always like, man, if only I could grow up to be one of those kids that tours schools.
Yeah, and plays the spoons on my knee.
Yeah, what a weird thing. Do they do those anymore? Assemblies?
Oh, they definitely do assemblies. I mean,
I don't know. I feel like my friends are teachers and never do I hear about like the fucking yo-yo guy was there today. Like, I feel like he's done.
Well, maybe he's done, but I feel like there
have to be. But why? Yo-yos were dope.
I feel like there have to be assemblies because
he'd be like, walk the dog. The Eiffel Tower.
Eiffel Tower. I remember like, well, when I was in high school, we as in an ensemble would go to elementary schools
and
around
sing?
The holidays and sing our, so like, kids would come, and I remember we would sing like carols in elementary school. Like that was an assembly.
I don't know that I'd want to. I think I'd rather have the yo-yo person. You guys were very talented.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah.
Remember jump rope for heart? in elementary school where like,
no,
it was like the first they came and did like a jump rope show. These people were like fucking good, like double dutching, sure. You know?
Yeah.
And then it was like during gym or at home, you could jump rope for a certain amount of minutes. And it was something, it was like a heart healthy.
I do not remember.
And then you earned things. I don't know. But yeah, jump rope for heart. I'm going to look it up later.
And then the difference with that, it was like reading for pizza. Remember?
That's why I think I'm a good reader.
Yeah.
At Pizza Hut, what were the
Or Domino's too, I think. Or was it Pizza Hut?
Pizza Hut. I remember you got the stickers. You got
like a personal pan pizza.
Yeah, you got like a pin and you got stickers on it. And then you'd go and be like, yeah, I want this fucking 4-inch pizza.
And then your classroom would win. Like a pizza party if you read like a... Oh, God. Remember pizza parties? But like... you could get like a piece of pizza and it would be like
watch a Bill Nye movie.
Yeah, I was gonna say it would be like an ICMM day. Do you remember those?
No, what does that say?
I can manage myself day.
I do not remember. So you do your own thing?
No. It was like, so you would get stars every day if you could manage yourself in class. And then if you had enough stars, you got to participate in ICMM day, which often included pizza and like a Bill Nye movie or something. It was so the teachers didn't have to do
no,
something.
No, also, I feel like as an adult, I need an I can manage myself.
Yeah, you need to get a big chart on your wall and be like, got out of bed, star.
Also,
brush my teeth.
I don't know if I will be able to describe this so you can get it in your head. I'm sure I could find it on the internet. It's like the intro, it wasn't Bill Nye, but those like science ones where it would be like a white.
It was like the zoo book.
Yeah, and you'd be like, no. It was like you were like an airplane going through like a window and there'd be like an ostrich.
Are you talking about that? Do, 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 do.
Yeah, do, 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 do. Yeah,
do, 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 do.
Yeah,
dude, I totally remember that.
Oh, man.
It's locked somewhere deep down in my psyche.
Do kids have... Also, fluoride. I brought that up at the wedding I shot yesterday because...
Do they still do that?
I don't know. And I also, I don't quite... The way they were talking about it, the girls at this wedding, I was like, I guess I didn't understand what fluoride was. We weren't swishing fluoride. No,
you put it in a...
No. You swish it. It was like
flavors.
There
were two ways to do it. So when you were really young, you could get it put on this foam that like sat in your mouth. Like, because little kids aren't going to like swish
it. Yeah, yeah.
But then when you got older, you would swish it for like a minute.
And it would come in on a huge tray in school. They'd be like, fluoride. And I just did it.
But you didn't do it at your dentist?
I'm sure I did, but like, I specifically remember the little paper cups that would come into school and there was like the orange flavor or like there's a root beer flavor. And like, what?
Also, like,
did my mom sign off on that?
Do you remember like, I think you had a bad day with the eyesight one, but like the hearing one and being so nervous that like, can I hear?
Or the scoliosis check?
Yeah, where you go in. I mean, and I know they need to do this for kids that like...
Don't go to the doctor.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I mean, it makes total sense, but there would be like huge anxiety where it was like hearing day and you'd have to go in this room and be like,
it's very small.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the scoliosis is like, let me just rub your spine. That's weird.
They had a thing that they put on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a man rubbing my spine.
No, and usually it was women, so I don't know.
I don't know what I did.
What you were experiencing, you should maybe do some hypnosis to figure
out. Such weird shit.
Yes.
I kind of miss it, though. I think I'd go back if I could.
To childhood?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Recess? Snack recess?
What is snack recess?
We had recess, and then snack recess was in the afternoon when you could have a snack. Like, your parents would pack another snack for you.
Oh, we never had that.
Mm. It's weird because, like, couldn't I have eaten a snack at every recess? But that one was, like, there was, like, recess after lunch, morning recess before school started,
which
and then
were like
snack
5 minutes. They were 15.
They felt long.
They felt so long.
So long, like hours.
The last thing I want to say about this
is
my elementary school is in the woods. And
where did you go?
Lake Hills.
Okay.
And
I remember that
it had, like, a soccer field, and then there was, like, a thing of trees, and then there was another soccer field.
Okay.
So it was, like... the far soccer field or whatever you'd call it. And I remember like it would take like half of recess to get out there. And then you'd like play and then you'd have like 5 minutes and the bell would ring. And I remember having to run
so fast
far to get back to class. But I want to go back to the elementary school.
And see how far it is.
See how far it actually is.
We should do that next time we're in town.
Yeah, I bet it's not that far.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Also, hasn't it not, our entire playground has completely changed.
I'm sure, like, they cut down a lot of trees, which is sad.
There's like an apartment complex next to mine. None of the same playgrounds.
Oh.
They also used to then we really got to do Grace. They would like plow the big blacktop area, you know? And it would be like a mountain in the winter. It felt like, and then kids would just be sliding, building igloos. Like, it felt like a vast city. I wonder if looking at it is very small.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But we were just tiny humans.
I know.
And everything's so big, and there was so much opportunity.
I feel like I remember more about sometimes those times, like certain things, than like college.
I think it's because we were drunk.
That's a good segue. Which is why we don't remember what we say on this podcast ever. Okay, let's... I mean, I would rather just talk all this stuff, but we got to get into Grey's.
We do.
Today, we're talking about season 12, episode 16, 17, When It Hurts So Bad and I Wear the Face. You want to go first?
Sure. Monologue one. Don't be scared. I have no idea how many times I've said that. The intern stands over a patient with a scalpel or a needle or a clamp, afraid to make the first move. They're scared. They know what to do, but they just need that little push. Don't stop. Don't hesitate. You can't be scared of what's next. Do not let fear get in your way. That's why we don't operate alone. There are attendings and nurses and interns. Those ORs are full of people. So in the cases where somebody actually does get hurt, nobody has to go through it alone. Meredith Grey.
Backaches, jaw pain, nausea. In men, these things are probably exactly what they seem like. But in women, they're all symptoms of a heart attack. Sometimes the symptom is hiding what's going on underneath. It's all in the way it presents itself. What happens when the gloves come off and you stop hiding behind your mask? What's your next move? Do you take your best shot and see where it lands? Or do you hang back, wait a minute, and see if you get sucker punched? It's your move. You can either retreat or go out swinging. So what you gonna do? Meredith Grey. Shotgun workup, we have... Ashley Hughes, which is weird because I know someone with that name. Crush injuries, bilateral hip dislocations, broken femur, pulmonary embolism. Oh, Christopher. I was thinking that you would. I don't know why.
Christopher, head laceration.
Yeah, let's go back and forth. Sophia Robin Sloan Torres, head laceration.
Jennifer Parker, pregnancy and aneurysm.
Kyle Diaz, multiple sclerosis, hand tremor, brain bleed.
Rounds.
Why don't you start?
Meredith goes on a third date with Major Thor.
I don't know his first name.
I don't.
Okay.
But you'll see in my first note. I was like, who am I talking about? And I was talking about him. Okay. So she goes on a third date with Major Thorpe and ends up in... Thorpe. Sounds like a cartoon noise. Like Thorpe. Okay. And ends up inviting him back into her house that evening. They kiss and presumably have sex. I'm assuming so. But in the morning, Maggie and Amelia are woken up to Meredith screaming at him to get out. They make him leave the house, and the three of them spend the day trying to figure out what happened. Meredith starts stress cleaning, and the three of them wipe down the steam.
Wipe down and steam.
They wipe down and steam clean every surface of the house. Maggie ends up calling Alex over for an emergency, and when the two girls leave, Meredith tells Alex that the night was actually incredible, but that she wasn't ready. Thorpe comes back over at the end of that day to check in on her, and she tells him that she's sorry, but she is not ready yet. He says that he will back off, but that he believes she is worth waiting for.
Then we have DeLuca, who tries to leave Maggie in the morning without saying goodbye to her, and she calls him out on it. During the day, while Maggie is cleaning, she talks to her sisters about how DeLuca has not called her back, seems a little standoffish, and is avoiding her. They convince her that maybe he wants to break up with her. She heads to the hospital to talk to him and ask him if he even wants to be with her, and he doesn't answer. This gives her the answer that she needs, and she tells him to leave the room as they are now broken up.
Owen and Amelia are still not talking. Owen tries to find out where she has been staying, and eventually Stephanie shares with him that she is at Meredith's house. He ends up showing up there in the evening and apologizes for what he did and says it won't happen again. Amelia says she understands, but since she is so early in her sobriety, she can't be with someone who isn't in it with her. She ends things with him and goes back inside the house.
Catherine Avery comes to visit, and Jackson tells her very seriously not to talk to April, that it is his problem and he does not want her involved. She goes against his words and finds April resting in a break room. She talks to her very kindly, empathizing with her about pregnancy and being all around supportive. This leads April at the end of the day to find Jackson and say she would like to talk with him, just the two of them. He goes to thank his mom, and she says that they now have everything that they need. April withheld information at the divorce hearings, and now they have what they need to go after her in court. Jackson looks very upset. In the second episode, April ends up overhearing Catherine talk to Richard about taking April to court. April is preemptive about it and files a restraining order against Jackson. She does not want to be the victim. When she walks in her house that night, she finds a crib delivery with a note from Jackson saying that he does not want to fight. Whatever April wants, he will be okay with.
Penny ends up saying, "I love you," to Callie while going to bed one evening, to which Callie responds, "Thank you." the worst. The next day, Sophia comes in with a small head laceration, and Penny ends up treating her because Karev and Meredith were gone, and Arizona and Callie were in surgery. Callie is upset about this and ends up lying to Blake, saying that Arizona's the one who does not want Blake to meet Sophia yet. Blake goes to apologize to Arizona for crossing boundaries, and Arizona tells her that she never said that. Blake realizes Callie lied to her and is pretty upset. So Callie talks to Miranda about, that's weird to see Miranda.
I know, I don't know why I
about
wrote that.
When she knew it was time for her and Tuck, when it was time for Tuck to meet Ben, and she gives her some good advice. At the end of the day, Callie and Sophia invite Blake to get ice cream with them, and we find out that they are both on the same page and feel the same way about each other.
There is a grant that residents can apply for called the Preminger Grant. Wilson and Stephanie are talking to Blake about it and both feel confident in their applications. Later that day, Blake overhears Stephanie talking down about Blake and where she came from. She uses this anger to say to Callie what she wishes she could say to Stephanie. Stephanie ends up apologizing after being confronted, and then we find out that last minute, Blake did apply to the grant, even though she said she wouldn't, and she ends up winning it. Wilson and Stephanie are really mad at her and consider what she did very snake-like.
Yeah, not great. So this one we're going to talk about in post-op. So Owen and Riggs are stuck working together again with Meredith, and while in the ambulance, they learn that it was Riggs who offered Amelia to drink at the bar. And that's what started her relapse. Owen is furious with him. Meredith tries to keep it civil between the two of them. And when Owen tells us that Riggs wasn't anywhere near the helicopter that Megan got into, and in fact, he was cheating on her with someone else.
Arizona and April work together on a patient who is young and pregnant and does not want to let her mom know she is 6 months along in the pregnancy. Arizona sides with the patient in keeping her privacy, while April ends up going behind her back and telling the mom that her daughter is pregnant. In this way, April ends up empathizing with what Arizona did to her when she told Jackson that April was pregnant. At the end of the episode, when April is angry about what the Averys are doing to her, she ends up talking to Arizona and they seem to make up and be friends again.
Kyle, who's 34, had been diagnosed 2 years prior with relapsing and remitting multiple sclerosis. He developed a tremor in his right hand, so he was in the hospital to have deep brain stimulation to reduce his symptoms. He had to be awake during the surgery in order to test his nerve function so they'd know when the tremor stopped. During the surgery, he developed a bleed, which caused his face to droop and his speech to slur. Amelia fixed the bleed with gel and continued DBS, which stopped the tremor. He was stable and awake after surgery. Throughout the pre-surgery and during surgery, he flirted hardcore with Stephanie. Stephanie did really well at keeping him calm during the surgery. And in the end, they continued to have great conversation. Stephanie claims that he's not her type, but we will see where it goes.
Thanks for sticking with us through those long rounds. What is your first note?
Mine is, 3 is this dude's lucky number. Will he kiss her? And I was like, who is this dude? And it's Thorpe.
You couldn't.
I guess I couldn't remember.
Oh, no. I wrote, Mare does really have nice hair. Because we talked about that last week.
It's a great cut.
But then, yeah, I wrote, he was hoping to get lucky at date number 3, which is kind of bold. He's definitely a bold dude to say that.
Yeah, and technically, is it really date number 3? Because he's considering sitting in a car their first date.
Right, because they laughed and talked.
Yeah.
And ate French fries.
Originally, Mare says no, that he won't be lucky. But then she says to him, you did not say goodnight.
Yes.
And it
so
was
he
like,
her.
Yeah, and
he's
I wanted
very handsome.
Oh, super handsome. I wanted to say it's like interesting. I feel like they did a good job of showing Meredith even in that moment, like she wanted to make out with him, but also like
was hesitant.
Yeah, and like that was when the monologue was like, you just need that little push.
Yeah,
it was like jarring in the morning scene. I forgot that happened.
Yeah. That was not great.
Because I think we're supposed to be made to think at first that he like sexually abused her or like something.
Yeah.
Like we don't, I mean, I guess because I'd seen it, I realized it's just she had like a panic attack that he was there in the morning. But I feel like it's made to be way more dramatic.
Yeah. Did you notice, and maybe I'm confused by this with timeline, but so she's screaming for him to leave and then Amelia's there. But there was a scene before where Amelia was walking through the hospital and walked past Owen.
That happened before that?
That's what I thought.
I remember that scene happening.
I guess it doesn't really matter, but like that was, I'm pretty sure we saw that scene because it was all these opening scenes, uh-huh. You know, and it was like one of them was her walking past and then it was like.
Interesting. Maybe she was going home.
Maybe.
That would be my only thought.
Yeah.
And didn't say bye to Owen, you know, like yeah. She just left. But yeah, oh, that's, I didn't even notice that. But yeah, because we see that. We see the Penny saying, I love you. We see DeLuca leaving without saying goodbye. There's right. Like a lot of like,
yeah.
Which it's interesting because I feel like in this episode, Amelia and Owen are done for now. Penny and Kelly, not done. DeLuca, Maggie, done. Like we're getting Major Thorpe and Meredith, done.
Jackson and April, done.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
What I guess I really related to Mare when she starts cleaning.
Yes.
Like that's such a, I mean, not to that. I would never steam clean. That's way too much work. But but like just the like needing to like.
Can't be like, it's that feeling of like you can't sit in it. So you have to physically be doing something.
Yep. What I was jealous of, because also I watched this morning when I was feeling not motivated and I did need to clean, is I was like at the end when they're sitting by the fireplace and the house is clean.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, I want that. I want a candle lit.
House isn't clean until that damn candle's lit.
Oh, it's the best feeling.
Oh, and like on a really,
a stormy night.
Yeah. And like crisp fall day and you have like a window open while cleaning and then it gets too cold and you close it, but it smells crisp in your house.
I want that.
That's what I want.
Instead, I was sitting in my stale house. No candle lit and everything was smelly.
Everything was terrible.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that I have that much to say about it other than the scene with Alex coming in and being like, where is he? I'll kill him.
Yeah,
like, uh-huh. And then him not wanting to steam clean. But then that scene with him and Meredith sitting by the fire, I just think there's so many great scenes of the two of them where like Alex doesn't really have to say anything. Mm-hmm. They just have to be with each other. And then eventually like he gives her the space to say what she needs to say.
Yeah. I also thought it was really sad. Like
just a bell outside.
Oh, I thought it was our doorbell.
Oh,
yeah. Sorry, everyone. I didn't, you know. And we have a guest. Someone's come for dinner. That, like, she is, like, you know, cleaning like crazy. And her sisters are there. And Krev is there. And then when she opens the closet mm-hmm. and finds the blanket, that's Derek's. And she's like, we're done cleaning now. And mm-hmm. she just goes and wraps herself up in it. And then we get that later on in the episode, we get that flashback where they, I think that's like their honeymoon or whatever. Mm. Where they go back and
makes a fire for them.
Yeah. And like after they do the post-it or whatever.
And makes a bed on the ground using that blanket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just that idea that like she was like, yeah, he had this blanket at the trailer. Then it came to our dream house. Somehow it ended up here again. Like, I hated this blanket. And like, this is all I have.
Yeah. And I want this. And she wraps herself up in it. And it's just sad too because she tells Kareb that like, you told me I was going to be fine. And like, she's not fine. Mm-hmm. And she tells him like she wants to be ready, but she's just not.
Yeah. And I like too that, I do think like it's good that she tried, like, you know, for her to be able to tell that she's ready in that. And I also feel like her saying to him, like, you told me, you said I would be okay. It's not like she's being accusatory.
No,
she's just like saying it. And also it just made me sad the way that she says goodbye to him, because you can tell it's like not because it's him. It's mm-hmm. just because of she's not ready. And I thought it was interesting because I think this is why maybe we all think that he might come back, or we all did, because he says like, I'm not going to back off mm-hmm. or I will back off, but then I'll be back. And he never is.
No. What if he shows up next season?
Oh, God. No, I can't handle that. I need Cormac Hayes.
Yeah. So it's just, I wonder, were they always planning on just having him for a short amount of time?
Probably. Maybe just as that first dude.
The first dude. She needed a first dude.
Yep. And yeah. And since he was a surgeon, there was no like weird explaining. It made it easy how they met.
Yeah.
I feel like it, I mean, I guess she really only is with surgeons. I don't think that's how the real world is.
I don't think it is either.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just think if you only dated people in your profession.
Oh my God, no. I could
just
never.
Just only photographers.
I could never. Ugh.
Ugh. Although I think there are quite a few therapists who are with other therapists.
Oh God, can you imagine that though?
Just
also,
the psychosis.
Well, part of it would be good in the sense that like you'd both be on the same level of like.
Yeah, I don't know, but I think we're all just a little wacky.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're that interested in like the mind and behavior and cognitive functioning, you're a little wacky.
You need someone to grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who to be like, actually, I'm not thinking about anything.
Actually, I don't want to talk about vulnerability right yeah. now. I would just like to watch TV.
Okay. The other feel like the big thing, if you're fine moving on, is like, what did you think of the, I think this is why I hate Catherine Avery.
Mm.
Not hate. I don't always hate her, but this is fucking vile.
This is, I thought what she did was awful to April.
I wish she had just been straight up mean to April and found out.
Yes.
But the way that she pretended to empathize her was a different level.
And got her to open up and give her the information she needed right. to then sue her for full custody.
It's, yeah, like, it's so twisted and so ugly.
Like, yes, it's extremely. And I get what she, when she kind of defends herself about like, I had to fight for my child and I'll never stop fighting for my child. Like, I get that, like, as a mama, as a mama bear, a protector, yeah. like, she doesn't want to see her son hurt. And she feels like information was withheld. And for what reason, you know, like, yeah. what's going to happen? But it doesn't make it right at all.
No, and it's also, like, Jackson's not incapable. And that's the thing I love when Richard was like, you're a meddler. Like, he calls her. I wish I'd written down all the funny names he calls her.
Nosy Nelly.
Yeah, there were so many good ones when they were in bed like that. But because it's really true. Like, that's the thing is, like, if Jackson had went to her and asked for her help, that's one thing. But, like, he specifically said not to. And I do believe, as it shows, if they hadn't done that, Jackson was going to, you know, send her that crib and the note of like, I don't want to fight. Let's work on this together. Like, I do think that they could have come to a happy agreement eventually.
Yeah. And I mean, it ends up putting April on like, offense? Is that offense?
On the defense.
That's defense.
Offense scores the goal. Defense
So she's protecting.
She's on the defense.
But she's offense. But she's
offense. Oh, but it's true. She's taking.
She goes and takes the lead to like fuck with it.
Right.
So that's offense, right? She's not.
Right. You're right. You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
Wow. I got a
she's
sports
also like
analogy
she's
right
She's also
now.
Like defending herself.
Sure.
By playing offense.
Yeah. Cool.
She's both the defense and the offense.
In that moment. She really is. But before we get into that, I wanted to just quickly say that, like, between Catherine and Richard, I felt like that fight felt very real. Like, it was almost like, it wasn't so mean. Like, there have been some Catherine and Richard fights that are just mean, but that felt like that bickering marriage fight when you're going to bed and being, like, stupid names. It's not, like, calling each other a bitch or an asshole,
right.
like, a nosy Nelly and being, like,
and
I'm going to bed
putting
now.
The pillow between.
Yes. I felt like that was really good fighting.
Yes. And then I loved how he, then the next day, was, like, you're in surgery with me. Like, she's, like, all excited about this necrotic tumor or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's, like, we're at work. Nothing's off limits. Like,
yes.
you can't escape this. Which I appreciate. I wish that April had stuck around long enough to hear Richard stand up for her a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it would have changed things, but I feel like she left before finding out that, like, Richard is trying to get her not to do this.
Yeah. And then Jackson ends up deciding not to do this. And like, they
right.
both agree that they can like take a positive, healthy step forward and mending the relationship with April. But April doesn't think it's going to go that way.
And doesn't, and doesn't know that he feels that way about
right.
it. Like she probably thinks he knew his mom was doing this.
Yeah.
Just a lack of communication. Cause it was sad when she sees that crib and she's just like, oh fuck.
Yeah. And he gets served in the bar after talking to like,
to Ben,
just about like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Like I did this big gesture or whatever. And then he gets served for a restraining order, which I want to know what fucking judge signed on that restraining order. For
yeah.
what reason does she have?
I don't know how that works. I can't even speak to it. We need Olivia.
I think
Benson.
It's very hard to get a restraining order.
Really?
That's why like the whole system is fucked up because like, and restraining orders do jack shit pretty much. Like, because if you're in a situation where you need a restraining order, what are you going to do? Wave it in their fucking face. If they come.
Yeah. Right. I wonder too, it's really sad to see her like, I mean, she's 13 weeks pregnant. She's like super upset the way that when she's talking to Arizona and she's like, my skin feels like it's on fire.
Yes.
Like that is also like an emotion that like is not great for being pregnant. Like, and I just feel so sad for her that like this good thing that's happening to her is being like tainted by all of this legal shit.
Yes.
I forgot about all of this.
Yes. Story. I also want to go back and say that I'm not saying that it's bad that April got a restraining order.
Like, no, I know what you mean. Yeah.
I'm just interested in what her reasoning was behind it.
I wonder if it was like him at the door yelling at she could have used that.
He banged on the door, like felt threatened by, he did kind of threaten her by banging on a door. Yeah, that's a good reason.
It could be.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Things are really ugly and really sad. I'm happy that her and Arizona seem to have worked it out.
Which is interesting, that storyline with the pregnant girl.
Yeah.
It was like flipped between the two of them.
I kept waiting for April to like during it, be like, oh, you're right. Yes. Side with the pregnant woman. But she never did. She was hardcore about the mom knowing.
Yes. And so I don't know. I felt like that part of like kind of made her maybe realize why Arizona would have done that.
Yes.
And like been the one to tell Jackson. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a part when she says, I wrote, it's because April's like, I'm pregnant. Like, you wouldn't know how that feels or something. And Arizona's like, no, I do know how that feels. Like, I did that for you. And I loved when she's like, just so mad. And she like, they don't have time to make up for the fight. And I like that again, Arizona, I feel like, based on that apology stuff, doesn't need to harp on it anymore. She's like, okay, she's talking to me. I'll be her friend.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh no, what did you do?
Yeah. And I think April really like really needed someone in that moment. So
interesting, because like soon Arizona will be in her own battle.
Yeah.
With this. So, I don't have much more about that. What did you think about Kyle?
The Kyle.
I've been waiting for him to enter the scene.
This is the one that Steph gets like
involved with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fine. He played a beautiful guitar.
I love how she was like, he's nasty hot. Like as in like just so hot and knows it that that's not for me, but clearly it like is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was
fun. I don't remember.
Fun.
Like, does he just like, is he a long-term patient? Does he come back?
He must be.
Like, something must happen with, like, the tremor or something that he has to be in the hospital longer. Because we see them in the hospital together, right? Not, or are they dating?
I have no idea. But I definitely felt the chemistry.
Yeah.
Felt very similar to, like, a Denny Duquette-Izzy situation. Because Denny was always very confident.
Yes.
And, like, so I'm just interested to see where this goes. I don't know. I don't have much to say other than like, I'm glad he's finally on the scene. Cause I've been kind of waiting. I was like, isn't there someone that she ends up having a relationship with?
Yeah. I can't really remember how it ends either.
No,
he breaks up with her, I think.
Oh, I thought something happened to him.
I think he breaks up with her.
Oh, well, we'll bet on that.
Yeah.
and then the Preminger grant too, like, I didn't think it was that snake-like of Blake. Like, I guess so, but in the beginning, they were like, yeah, you can apply.
Yeah.
And she says she doesn't, but, like, that shouldn't affect, like, what they put forward. Clearly, they're intimidated by her.
Right, and that's ultimately what it's about. And, I mean, with Stephanie, too, like, getting Amelia to, like, nod her head and be like, I would never tell you what I was going to present in a whatever. And say pretty much that she was going to bring Stephanie forward as a candidate. And I think that Stephanie needs to hear that because she is intimidated by Penny. And so then I think it pisses her off even more that it's Penny. Like, you know, like I feel like if it was Joe or something,
right?
You know,
I don't know though. I feel like Stephanie, which I love her confidence. It's one of the things I love best about her. But in this case, I feel like she just couldn't fathom that someone could be better than her.
Yeah.
Even when she's like filling out the thing, she's like, these squares aren't big enough for me to talk about how great I am, which is like, I love that. Be that way. Like, but then I feel like just because someone else has this does not make you less than. Mm-hmm. But I think part of it was because of that last patient when Penny worked on with Amelia. And remember when Amelia was like, fuck, now, like, she's really good.
Yeah. I think it was really shitty what Stephanie said about, like, when her name came up, that you would back, you wanted to get rid of her from since day one. So you would back her going across the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, I, like, took on this program, you know, or not program department or whatever, when you were going.
Yeah. She like brought personal things into it, which I was like, that is not something to use against Amelia. I feel like,
and I think Amelia was right. Just her response of this is the attendings lounge.
Yeah. Like you crossed a line.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I mean, I don't really, this is what starts the ball rolling. And also it's really sad because Callie is like, we see the I love you story and then her being really nervous about bringing Sophia and like, when is it appropriate? And then through all of that, Penny's like, fuck this, applies, gets it. Mm-hmm. And now they're finally on the same page. Like, so obviously Callie, you can just see like the sadness mm-hmm. in her. She's like very, I don't even know that she's excited for her. Like she says she is, but I think there's just,
she's like, fuck.
Yeah. I opened myself up. And introduced her to my child. And now she's going to move across the country.
And I'm going to go with her. And why can't they just share custody? Because they want her to have like a stable.
I think what it is more of like.
Arizona just doesn't want her to go.
No, I think it's more of just like, oh, well, you can see her on holidays. Or like Callie assumes that she'll just have like pretty much like majority of the custody, like she'll go to school there and like maybe Arizona can see her in the summer.
And Arizona's like, no,
like this has to be more like joint equal custody or whatever, which actually like, I think it is very, very difficult to be able to move out of state when you have
sharing custody.
You're sharing custody. Cause I know someone who wanted to move back to Michigan and it got denied, like it can't be brought back to court ever.
Unless you gave up custody.
Unless the other person gave up custody. It was like, fine, you can go.
Yeah.
Because if the other party is like, there's no reason for them not to have custody.
Right.
Like the courts want to keep families together.
Together. Yeah. Ugh. I hate that. It'd be fine if like, I get what they're doing, but it sucks that it gets ugly.
It gets so ugly.
Yeah. It was also nice. Also, I think that's why they introduced us to Sophia again, because she's about to like have a bigger role. And, I did like the way, like, again, this is, I feel like the last, like, really happy episode we get of all of this, of Callie and Penny when they are talking in code about ice cream. Like, we would like to get ice cream with you. Like, and because they're in front of Sophia and she's like, I also would like to get ice cream. Like, but
I wonder, because this is episode 16 and 17 and there's only 24 episodes, right?
Yeah.
So like,
is this Callie's last season?
I thought the custody battle was in this season. So it.
Callie's last season, last season for Arizona left in 14. Callie's last episode is. Yeah, this finale.
This finale.
So we're about to enter the custody
battle. We're about to go
into
the custody battle.
Man, this is our last season with Callie.
I know.
That sucks.
Yeah.
The more I watch the show, she's such a phenomenal actress.
She really is.
I can't wait to see them on, aren't they going to be on the new Sex and the City reboot?
Yes, they are.
Cool. So yeah, anyways, it's a bummer because I also like don't mind Blake being on the show. Like I kind of wish they could have just, we'd have like a new neuro team of Amelia and Blake. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Because it would have been unexpected.
But no.
And so we get Karasik whenever he shows up.
He goes, oh yeah. And then he leaves.
Yeah, he has that weird moment.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lot.
We'll get there someday. Again, circle back around. Okay, so what else do we have?
Whatever do we want to talk about? What else hit you? What else stood out to you, Brie?
Well, now while I'm talking about this, I mean, I rated this, like, fine, but now I'm feeling like nothing stood out to me in these episodes. Do you feel a similar way?
Yeah, it was definitely like a middle ground one. I mean, the April Jackson stuff was big, I feel like.
Yeah.
Meredith sleeping with another man. I mean, that was probably very exciting at the time of watching it.
Yeah. We can quickly touch on the topic. We didn't even touch on it in rounds. Just that poor woman's legs getting out of her socket from sex injury.
God,
oh, my God.
Also, I was sad that she didn't end up wanting to see him again.
Yeah, she bent at the top of the mountain and it was...
because he was such a gentleman.
He was a gentleman. But she didn't want her legs to be put through that again, which... I understand.
I have a note that says, a man fell on a girl, question mark.
Yeah, I know. And then I was like, oh my God, this is a sex injury.
Yeah. I think the other, I'm just like looking through random notes, because we're going to talk about Owen and Riggs later. And it's sad about
DeLuca. Oh my gosh, Maggie and DeLuca.
I know, it's sad. It's also sad when she says, like, do you even want to be with me?
And there's silence.
Yeah, and she says, there's my answer, which is just like, it's not, I'm proud of her at least for like, saying that, because it would feel so horrible to be that person that just like being left behind.
Yeah.
Also, why do it's and this whole season, every time that they talk about like attendings and residents having power, or sorry, attendings having power over residents, it's in the gallery and it's like Joe, Blake, that cross guy. It's always there. And DeLuca, I feel like all of this is because he's been peer pressured into thinking that.
Yes, I think so too, because really in the beginning, when they weren't out in the open or weren't public about their relationship, I don't feel like there was like a weird power struggle.
No,
between them.
He was all for it too.
Yeah. And really even too, when they were, I didn't feel like there was a power struggle really. No. Like she wasn't walking around like asserting her power over him.
No, not at all. And if anything, she was just like trying to help him get into good surgeries and like,
yeah.
Yeah. So that was a bummer, but also in the last few episodes, it lost its steam for me.
Totally.
So I'm fine.
I felt bad for her. Like that feeling when you're like talking about someone and then your friend or sister in this case is like, yeah, that doesn't sound good. And this is why. And coming to that realization, like, what?
What do you mean? That didn't even cross my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to me that like she's so concerned about Meredith, but how quickly she's like, I need to leave and go deal with this DeLuca thing.
Yep.
It just shows like how selfish we all are when we're all going through our own shit. Like someone can be going through a crisis, but then your crisis could be bigger.
Yeah. And it trumps it in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
I liked the part too when like she was worried about Amelia and Meredith fighting all the time. And then Meredith is, they're just like, this is what sisters do.
I loved that.
Yeah. You have sisters.
Yeah.
Two of them.
And Maggie cannot handle the tension. And it's just like,
that's me. I would be.
And it's so funny to me with like, her asking the other attendings to like come to dinner and they're like, no,
never again.
No, we're not doing that. And so when Meredith brings up the cupboards again being open, Maggie's like, that's it. Like, let's just have it out. You guys, let's just do it. And then I love, that Meredith's like, we're all adults. Like, we're going to disagree. We're going to annoy each other. Can you please try? And that was the other big thing. Meredith said Amelia could live in the house again.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Amelia acted like, you know, when Meredith freaked out in the morning, she's like, I've been sleeping on your couch, leaving before you woke up, but I won't do it again, blah, blah, blah. And Meredith doesn't even address that. And then at the end of the episode, she's just like, you can sleep in your bed if you want to, which was her way of inviting her back into the home.
Yep. So she's back and all is well there. We don't have to talk long. Owen came back. I guess I get proud of Amelia for standing up for
doing what she needs to do for her sobriety.
Yeah, but it sucks that they end up married. So what went wrong? Why didn't it just end there? Could have been great.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's, I feel like, let's do notes and trivia.
Yeah.
Okay. This episode's title originated from the song When It Hurts So Bad, originally sung by Lauryn Hill.
It scored 7.77 million viewers.
The table read took place on January 18th, 2016.
Whoa, sorry, yawning.
Wow, 2016.
Yeah.
We're catching up.
How do you say her last name?
Scorsoni.
Is it? Katerina Scorsoni. Interesting, was so sick while filming this episode that she lost her voice. Much of the sick voice, if you had any voice at all, was replaced. Oh, weird. Was replaced later in post-production.
Job well done, because I didn't notice that. April's coming up 13 weeks pregnant during this episode.
This episode's title originated from the song I Wear the Face, originally sung by Mr. Mister.
The episode scored 7.35 million viewers.
The table read for this episode took place on January 29th, 2016.
Filming was scheduled from February 1st to February 11th, 2016.
Catherine's line during her conversation with Jackson at the end of the episode, as long as I'm living my baby forever, you will be as a reference to the children's book Love You Forever by Robert Munsch.
Stephanie's application for the Preminger grant includes early mobilization, which she applied to a patient earlier in the season.
Cool.
Okay, Catherine Fox. I said definitely not Catherine Fox. I have no idea. I felt like no one stood out to me. I said Arizona because of her, like, learning from her mistakes with April and standing up for her patient and then just, like, being ready to be her friend. But I have no one else that I can even think of.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's good. Maybe, like, Amelia, Maggie, and Karev all being there for Meredith.
I like that idea too, the trio.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. There was no one outlandish to me.
No, same.
We both rated it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, although like now I'm like, what, like a 6? Because like I had not much to say. Yeah. But I think watching them,
they're fun to watch. Like
middle of the road.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome. Well, make sure you stick around after Time of Death if you are listening on the Patreon app for our post-op topic. Otherwise, thank you for listening. And Time of Death is 1946.
Beep.